Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
While I was living in an apartment that later became a crime scene, I had an off experience with a neighbor. I had just one neighbor that I had talked to a few times. He was a friendly guy who was a bit of a stoner. We got along well enough. We just exchanged numbers once so that if there was a noise issue or if I needed a sitter for my pet, he could help me out. He'd occasionally text me asking if I wanted to come over for video games or smoking. It's not my thing, so I just told him that I was busy with work, which was true. He was always persistent about it, but I really let it go. Maybe a few months after I moved in, he found me on social media. They started escalating with knocking on my door or notes about random stuff, or asking me if I wanted to come over to hang out. I told him that I was not interested in that, only neighbors. He came away saying, "Cool, we're friends." He continued to text me and I just not answer anymore. There were a few times where he'd text me that he knew that I was home as he could see the light underneath my outer door and or he could hear music playing. I ended up being very aware of this and I'd stuffed the bottom of the door with a shirt so it appeared to be dark from the hallway. I'd also only use headphones. I really tried to avoid confrontation, pretending not to be home when he knocked. It just got to be too much, and I finally just told him that I wasn't interested in him at all, even as a friend. I also mentioned that he was being creepy. Of course, he took this in a bad way and still kept leaving me notes that I saved about how he was now in love with me. He also referred to us having a relationship and how I hurt his feelings, which was insane, as we only spoke in person maybe 5 times by that point. He did continue texting me kind of randomly. I was dating someone and honestly, I had set boundaries more than a few times. I ended up blocking him. Some time passed and I'd listen at the door to hear if he had left. I managed to avoid him pretty well as a result. Then, of course, I start dealing with a peeping Tom who made my life absolute hell. I was sure that it was him. I gave the notes to the police along with everything that he had written to me by text. They felt pretty sure that it was him. The police found out that he had moved very far away about 2-3 months before everything happened without saying goodbye. He also had a rock-solid alibi for one of the events in question that the cops were investigating. This is when I realized that I had a problem beyond my creepy former neighbor. I grew up on a block in a small town that changed and kinda got bigger over the course of my life. My folks bought a new house and moved a couple towns over back in 2019. I missed the old house, but it was time for them to go. We lived on the same corner my entire life and knew everyone in town. There was a big white house across the street. It belonged to an old woman who was sweet but very old. On the other side of her house was another neighbor, her son, Scott. Scott was about 2 years older than my father and was a basketball rec league coach at a local community college. I have random memories of seeing Scott growing up, and one of them is pretty vivid. There was one cold morning. It had to be early March or late February. My father's car would not start, and Scott happened to be outside and offered me a ride to middle school. My father thanked him, and I went. I remember sitting passenger and looking at Scott Longmane, the same dirty rec league jersey he always wore, and realizing I had never seen him out of that jersey. I counted 13 Rush CDS on his dashboard. My God, I had never seen so many Rush CDS in my young life. This guy must be nuts, I thought. There was nothing particularly creepy about the encounter. It's just an anecdote of a weird run-in with Scott. By the time I was in high school, I noticed that I had not seen Scott go into his house in a couple of years, and he mainly just stayed at his mother's. I later found out that both of the houses had been in his family for years, and that was his house. However, he lived at his mother's and only went into his house once or twice a month. By this time, I had overheard some chatter from my folks about how Scott was a creep. Dude was in his late 40s and never had a girlfriend in the entire time. My father knew him his entire life, lived at his mom's house, and there were plenty of weird stories. Seemed like he was known to show up at my folks when I was younger. And it always happened to be when my father was not home and my mother was in the shower. It just kept getting weirder over the years. Apparently, he had my mother's cousin as a dentist, and he mentioned something he saw my mother post on Facebook. My mother did not have him added on Facebook, and she was not even aware he had Facebook. I remember one time, my father was pulling up and caught him in front of our house in our trash bin. My father asked him what he was doing, and he said he was borrowing his trash bin to dump his trash. He then admitted he had been doing it for weeks. When my father asked what gives, he said his trash was full. He filled it with basketballs and was using it. I remember my father walking away and saying, "Do what you gotta, but that's just weird, dude." As my sister got older, he got real weird with her too. He'd follow her down the block in the dark when she was 15 walking the dog. The dog would go nuts, so he started buying treats to calm the dog down and disengage it. This turned into the dog, a puppy at the time, running from the yard across the street without hesitation whenever she saw Scott, which was frustrating and dangerous. Above all else, my sister was too scared to leave the house after school to walk the dog because this guy is a creep. When my parents moved, they did not give Scott their address. They did not tell him what town they were moving to. One day I was at my grandma's. She showed me something she got in the mail. It was from Scott. A birthday card to the dog. Just a very basic birthday card. He could not give it to my folks because he didn't have their address. It was a last-ditch effort to stay in contact. My grandma then told me he had also sent a birthday card to my sister to this address. Keep in mind, at this point, my sister is 18. And Scott is about 60, still wearing the same dirty rec league basketball jersey he was in 2004. His mane is now gray. I'm assuming his Rush CDS have disc rot at this point. We didn't hear from Scott for about a year and a half, until this summer. There was a parade that went in front of my parents' house on Father's Day every year. All growing up, it was a big party at my house every Father's Day. My mother told me that this year, they took the motorcycle back to my old town to see the parade from the street the old house was on. Apparently, Scott came running out as soon as they pulled up. "I knew it was you. I can tell by the sound of your motorcycle. I hear you guys drive by sometimes. Keep in mind, this is a busy main road and I always run out and wave, but you never see me." My mother was kind of weirded out by this, but always tries to play nice. She asked Scott if they could go see her mother, still living in that same old, big white house. She is now in her 90s. Scott took my parents inside, and the mother said, "So nice to see you. I've seen your new house. It's beautiful." "You've seen our new house? How'd you see our new house?" my mother asked. "Well, Scott drove me by one day." There was silence, and my mother asked Scott how he knew where she lived. "I heard what town you live in, so I decided to drive around. It's a small place, so I figured it wouldn't be hard. I saw the motorcycle and your car in the driveway." They promptly left, took a back road out, and abandoned the parade. This story might be long, but it does not end here. We have had another incident with Scott since. My mother was in Walmart the other day, and she saw Scott. "I still have a graduation present and newspaper clippings for your daughter. My sister graduated in 2020. I thought I'd stop by and drop them off, but that might be a little creepy." This is how he opened the conversation to my mother. "Yay, Scott. I think that would be a little creepy. You shouldn't do that." "I might do it soon anyways. See you soon." He smirked and laughed and turned around and walked off. I imagine still wearing that dirty, stinky rec league jersey that he probably hasn't washed since 2000. "Scott, please stay the hell away from my family. They have cameras and guns. You are a creep, Elmal." So this happened a couple of years ago. We used to live in a house in the mountains, and the only neighbor we had wasn't that close to our home, so there was literally no one around. This incident occurred on a Sunday. My daughter, who was 13 at the time, was visiting for the weekend and was sleeping upstairs. My bedroom is downstairs. I was in the living room watching TV when I decided to go outside to contemplate the stars. The thing is, I had to leave my door semi-opened because there's only one handle logically inside the house. And the other side of the door can only be opened with a key, so no handle from outside. I contemplated the stars for about 5 minutes. Then I felt like I could smell a weird smell. I went back inside. It was 3 a.m., so I decided to go back to sleep. Then I woke up at 6 a.m. and could see the sunrise. So I decided to open my window since it was extremely hot inside and stand up at the edge of the window from outside. Suddenly, I felt like a hand was pushing me in my back. I got pushed from my window by someone. The thing is, there was only me and my daughter in my house, and I got pushed out of my own house by a stranger, and my daughter was still inside. Since the window was closed, I couldn't open the front door either because I didn't have the keys. I knew that my neighbor was a locksmith, so I subsequently rushed to his house, woke him up at 6 a.m., and explained the situation to him. He took his stuff and came with me to my house. Now I'll tell you what my daughter told me. She told me that she could hear an old man coughing, and that she didn't recognize the cough, so she instantly went into the bathroom, locked the door of the bathroom. The door of her bedroom didn't have a lock, only the bathroom had. And she turned on the tap while she was calling the police. My neighbor managed to open the door. We rushed upstairs, and while going upstairs, I saw that a knife was missing from my knife set in the kitchen. When we went upstairs, we saw that the door of my daughter's room was opened. We turned on the lights and saw an old man with a hood, holding one of my knives, waiting in front of the bathroom door. My neighbor and I beat the living shit out of him and waited until the police came. The man got arrested, and the week after that, we moved to another county. This is so sketchy, guys. Backstory. I'm 28, and I'm a woman who lives alone in a town next to the town I grew up in. Anyone who knows this town wouldn't even think twice about it being a dangerous place. Before what I'm about to tell you, I never felt compelled to lock my car or my doors. I moved into my apartment in October 2021. 2 months later, I hear some seriously strange noises through my wall. These noises only happened after 2 a.m. They sent shivers down my spine. Bangs. Whistles. Jumbled words. Moaning. Yelling. One time I heard, "Help me, help me." Long story short, and after many, many 911 calls, I was informed that I lived next to a known meth user in the area. This man is also a lawyer. Nuts. I moved from that unit to a different unit in the farthest apartments from the main entrance. There's like 20 buildings. I've been in this new unit now on the first floor, was on the third for about 5-ish months. Never hear my neighbors. I see them, and I try not to be judgmental, but as humans, we just are. There's a couple that seem strange, but nothing truly out of the ordinary. It's quiet in this part of the apartments because of it being the last in the string of buildings. And knowing how far back I am, it's comforting knowing no one who doesn't live here should be here. Last night, a little after 2 a.m., I'm half asleep watching TV. I hear three raging bangs on my patio door. To get onto my patio, you have to walk through a grassy or muddy area and open a gate into my patio. The adrenaline rush I felt was unbelievable. I went into panic mode. My bed is feet from my patio door, and if you're on my patio, you can see inside my apartment through the sliver of blinds. This person saw me, but I'll never know how long they were there before they knocked. The bangs sounded like it came from someone in dire help. They sounded like they came from a man's fist. Someone angry. I jump out of bed. My dog starts barking incessantly. I peep through the blinds, but it's too dark to see this person's face. It was a middle-aged woman. Short. Rather frail. I managed to understand the words, "Do you have a minute?" The bangs didn't match the demeanor of her request. That's the eeriest part for me. Incredibly unsettling. I said, "F no, who the F are you, get the F out of here." Between the chaos of my dog and me screaming for her to leave, I couldn't hear anything else she said. Then she just stood there, in the darkness, for about 10 seconds, and about face turns and jogs away and yells, "Wrong house." I call the police. They arrive and inform me that the woman I saw is my neighbor, and that she has schizophrenia and sometimes she doesn't take her medicine. Same with her boyfriend, who also lives there with her. How ironic that it's the same people who I thought were strange. I'll always wonder what she would have wanted to talk about. I'll keep this updated because I'm sure I'll see them again. Needless to say, my first apartment or living alone experience has really gotten off to a great start. When I was like 13, my friend's mom started dating this complete scumbag. He moved into their house shortly after, and he would always try to hang around us. We were 13-ish and had no desire to be around him, so eventually he started watching us from the windows. One time he gave us a ride, and not only was he drinking booze while doing it, he kept grabbing at my friend that was up front. We told him to F off, and he did for the most part. A while later, he started harassing my friend's little sister and her friend's 11 or so years old. He loved trying to find any excuse to touch the kids and would always say very creepy shit. "You smell good. I bet you taste good too." They told their mother, but she just told them, "Be nice to my boyfriend. He lives here now." Since the mother was never around, we would constantly get in arguments with the boyfriend since he was always home. One day things got a tad out of hand. It was a Friday night, and there were a bunch of us at the house. My group of friends were there. His little sister has friends over, and his older brother, about 16-17, had friends over. Even though there were about 15-20 of us there, it was pretty harmless. We were just making food and listening to music and stuff. No drugs or alcohol. Anyways, the dipshit boyfriend woke up from one of Boo's fueled naps and freaked out. He tried to kick everyone out, but we all just laughed in his face. He would storm out, smoke a cigarette, and then come back in and try again. After a few times, he grabbed the youngest daughter by the arm and pulled her off the counter, yelling at her to kick her friends out. The oldest brother reacted quickly and ran over and shoved him and told him he better leave before he gets his ass kicked. The boyfriend reluctantly left, or so we thought. A few minutes later, we saw him standing on the porch just staring into the windows. It was pitch black in the backyard, and we only saw him because of his cigarette. At this point, the older brother and all his friends were riled up, so they ran out into the backyard to demand he leave again. The oldest brother and boyfriend yelled at each other for a few seconds, and then the boyfriend tried to sneak in a punch. It was like a half punch or half slap, but still, that sent things off the rails. All his friends jumped in and started attacking him. The biggest one punched him twice and knocked him out. He broke his nose, and there was blood everywhere. A few moments later, he regained consciousness, and before he could even sit up, they were kicking him and trying to throw him off the porch. He managed to get to his knees, but then one of the kids gave him a running drop kick, and he rolled down the steps about 6 or 7. He started screaming in pain and saying stuff like, "You're all going to jail," and limped off into his truck and drove away. Sure enough, the cops showed up a little bit later, and boy, was that fun. After they determined we weren't drinking or smoking weed, they decided to hear our side of the story. The kids who lived there started explaining all the creepy shit he had been doing and why they hate him. Then the cops said, "Okay, we will certainly look into that, but Mr. So-and-so is saying you and your friends attacked him because he told you to leave." Every single person all just started yelling, "No, no, no." He grabbed her and punched him. We tried to make him leave. It was hilarious, but beautiful too. Anyways, the pedo dude wound up in the hospital, and I'm not sure if he was ever charged with anything, but he did get kicked out of the house, and we never saw him again. Oh, and obviously our parents all found out, and we were never allowed back over there. My husband and I moved into a cool downtown loft in 1999 in San Diego's Gaslamp District. We had an underground parking garage that it was manned by security after the management team left for the day. My husband worked nights while I attended Oxta. On New Year's Eve 1999, my good friend came to visit and to hit the party's 2000 baby. I had secured a spot for her in the visitor section and went down to meet her. The security guard on duty was a middle-aged gentleman. I have long since forgotten his name. He was always very nice, but there was something about him that bothered me, and I did not know why. When I met my friend at the gate, he came to speak to us and asked about our plans. My friend told him we were hitting the town on such an exciting night, etc. I said nothing until we got away from the building. For some reason, I said, "Sean, if anything ever happens to me, tell the police to check that guy out, not Cheyenne, my husband." She laughed and asked me why, and I told her it was just a feeling I had. She reminded of this later. You'll see why. A few weeks later, I saw him leaving the unit of my neighbor that I knew was out of town. I thought it odd as he was the parking lot guard. When I mentioned it to another neighbor, she told me that the guards had the master key to the lofts in case of emergency. Okay. My husband works nights. He knows this. I get a creepy feeling around him. That's great. We added a chain to the door. It already had a bolt and a regular lock, and that made me feel a little better. Later that year, we are watching the news. The security guard's face pops up on the local TV. I pay close attention. Turns out he is one of the Aryan leaders from San Diego, and he had just been found guilty of some race-related crime that was sending him away for a long time. I lost it. Why? I am black and my husband is white. I thought back to every time he spoke to us, how conciliatory he was, how much he'd ask how we were doing, how he would ask my husband about his job, all the little, seemingly innocuous questions he put to us. and it scared me to death. He'd had the key to my home. He had to have been bothered by our relationship, but he never showed it, except to my sixth sense. I raced to the management office as soon as they opened the next day. One of my neighbors had beat me there. It was the guy whose unit I saw him exiting months before. He was threatening to sue management because he had told them months ago that the guy was an RN and that he was distributing hate leaflets to his son. He was divorces, and the son stayed with him every other weekend. From the gist of his yelling, I discerned that management advised then that they'd asked, and the guard denied any knowledge of pamphlets. His last words as he was leaving was that he was conferring with a lawyer since they did nothing at the time. Now this guy was on the news for hate crimes committed. He was obviously an RN, and their lack of intervention had allowed him to influence a minor. I have no idea what happened with him as he moved soon after. I told them about my concerns, and they said they can track.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Did with a security company, and that he'd passed all background checks at the time of employment. Why he was even working as a security guard, I have no idea. Being young, we just let it go. Although I have forgotten his name, I can still clearly see his face when I think about him. I have tried looking him up on Google, but none of the search information I've used brings up his case. I've thought about looking it up at the courthouse. There must be some way, but then think, what's the point? He's in jail, still, I hope. Mail 17. My neighbor has a complicated reputation with my family, and I've heard a few stories over the years of their interactions with him. He's around 70, with a two-story house on a street of otherwise one-story houses. I have anxiety and avoided talking to adults as a kid, so I've never directly talked to him. However, my mom tells me that he once blew a foghorn at our dogs for barking, reported my other dog as dangerous just because we had to chase him down the street after he ran off, and according to her, he does this quite often around the block. He watches things to make things safer and confronts people about it, she says. I go out to the backyard a few times a day to smoke and usually haven't seen any issue with it because we have tall fences and I never noticed anyone around. But recently, I've seen movement behind the fence and the crunching of leaves, and yesterday I'm 99% sure I saw a white robe through the cracks of the wood, which he wears. Both my mom and I think he's watching me, and it creeps me out a lot, but she doesn't seem to think it's an issue. I've started going out to the shed instead because I don't feel comfortable anymore in the open. I think he's a creep. So, this all took place 5 days ago on a Tuesday. I'm 16 and very paranoid about my safety. But after this day, I don't think I can go outside by myself ever again without some type of protection. After online school, I took a shower and decided to go outside with my 2-year-old nephew. So I put on my clothes and shoes, grabbed my nephew's hand, and walked out the door. I live on the bottom floor, and so do 3 more people, but one of them just had to be my creepy neighbor. He's tall, African American, skinny, with a beard, and looks to be in his late 30s. While walking to the front of my apartment, I didn't see his truck anywhere. So I had a sigh of relief. A few minutes passed of playing and chasing after my nephew. A white Chevrolet pickup truck pulls into the complex and stopped a yard in front of us and just watched us. I didn't see him drive past us because I was making sure my nephew wasn't running places he wasn't supposed to be, and I was also on FaceTime with one of my best friends just in case. But when I look up, and to my horror, I see him staring back at me, just watching. My body was paralyzed in fear. After snapping back to reality, I grabbed my nephew and started speed walking back to my apartment. In fear, I slowly looked back to see if he was still watching me, and just as I thought, he was. But this time he put his truck in reverse and started backing up really slow, still watching me. That's when I held my nephew as tight as I could and ran as fast to my apartment. Before I got up to my door, I heard tires screeching like he sped away, but I didn't care to look. I ran into my apartment, locking my door behind me. Out of breath, I told my mom everything. When I told her what just happened, her face went from concerned to pissed off. That's when she told me not to go outside by myself from now on. I just wondered what could have happened to me if I was outside by myself. I know this story was very long, but I just want to get my story out there and just remember that harassment can happen to anyone at any age. So please be safe, and if not already, please invest in pepper spray, a taser, or any self-defense weapon. You never know what people are capable of. A few years ago, I traveled solo backpacking in France as a 21-year-old female. I took a day trip to Versailles from Paris. To go there and come back, I had to use two different trains. Unfortunately, when I was returning from Versailles, my phone battery was very low, only around 3%. So, I put my phone on airplane mode and low power. I had my headphones on, even though I wasn't listening to anything. A random guy, let's call him John, came and sat next to me. I had been walking in the gardens all day and didn't feel like talking to anyone, so I pretended I didn't understand French. John then took out his phone and used Google Translate, asking if I wanted to learn French. I replied with a simple, "No, thank you," and tried to put my headphones back on to make it clear I wasn't up for chatting. However, he kept asking me questions through his phone. The next thing he asked was, "Where are you sleeping?" I didn't feel comfortable sharing my real plans, so I fibbed and told him I was staying in a large hotel with my family and that I was on my way back to them. He wanted to know where I was going, and all I told him was Paris. Then he asked if I was getting off at a specific subway stop, and I lied again, saying yes. He suggested he'd come along with me. I didn't feel comfortable with that. So I firmly said no and cut the conversation short to avoid further interaction. I quickly put my headphones on, signaling that I wanted to be left alone. Ignoring him completely, he eventually got the message and left me alone for a couple of minutes. After that, he answered a call on his phone and told his friend, "Yeah, I'll get off at X stop and you go to Y stop." This made me really nervous because Y stop was exactly where I intended to get off. When we reached the transfer station, he stood up and left the train, positioning himself by the doors, waiting for me. I took a long time to stand up, making sure I had all my things, and I did it in a way that was kind of annoying on purpose. After that guy left to catch the other train, I took my time getting off and on to the next train. I moved really slowly. I got on the train right at the front and kept an eye on everyone around me to make sure no one was acting strange or watching me too much. I probably seemed a bit strange to them because of how cautious I was being. When I reached X stop and kept an eye on the people getting off and on the train and anyone on the platform, I didn't see him or anyone looking at me too much. When we got to Y stop, I got off with the crowd, turned the corner, and there he was with four friends, checking out everyone who was coming out. So, I quickly turned around and went the opposite way. I let my hair down from its bun and tried to look different. Once I got off the train, I ran back to my hostel. I stayed there and only went out if one of my roommates was with me. So, every single night for the past week or more, my boyfriend and I have noticed a car parked in the parking lot next door that faces our bedroom window. Usually, the person just sits in the vehicle for a few minutes, then drives away, though a couple of nights they have sat there for about an hour. They don't appear to be on their phone as there is no light, but you can make out their face, and a couple of times my boyfriend has said he thinks he can see them looking up at us. But we do keep the room pitch black. And we live in an apartment building, so it's not impossible for them to be looking at any of the windows. It is always around 3 a.m., and the car is never there at any other time. In fact, another vehicle is usually there, and we remember it because there was a weird incident where a man walked up to the vehicle with someone in the driver's seat and spray-painted all of the windows, then walked away just about a month or so ago. I doubt the two things are related, but who knows? Does anyone have any idea why this person would be doing this? And every night at the same time? Edit. My boyfriend reminded me this morning that the first night we saw the car, there was actually a police vehicle with it. At the time, it actually looked like the driver of the vehicle got out of the passenger side of the cop car and into the other vehicle, but we're not 100% sure. So maybe a police stakeout of some kind. One of my neighbors was physically attractive, had a very pleasant personality, and you would never in a million years suspect her of doing anything immoral. But I could hear very clearly through the wall, and I swear she was involved in a sexual relationship with her dog. I'm originally from a metro area. I bought a house to raise a family in a small Oklahoma town. We got a Great Pyrenees puppy this summer who loves to romp and bark. My neighbor is an older gentleman who would stare from his side door into my backyard at my dogs. I have a half-blind old cow dog too. Being from a big area, I immediately thought my dogs were being too noisy and irritating my elderly neighbor. One day, I'm filling a pool for my little one, and the neighbor steps out of his porch headed my way. He says hello and then tells me how much he loves to watch my puppy play. He watches them and gets a kick out of the big oafish puppy. The neighbor explains he is just an old retiree that doesn't have any family anymore, and he is happy we moved in. Great guy. All the years of watching out for creeping-ass neighbors, I almost dismissed a really cool guy. It had to be around 1969 or 1970. We had just moved into our new house, and the neighbor lady was a severe alcoholic. She only stayed there a couple of weeks out of the year, but when she was there, she'd get rip-roaring drunk and stay up all night, smashing all the breakables in the house glasses, dishes, windows, anything she could smash. The last time she was there, a newlywed couple rented a small house in the back. She smashed her way in and proceeded to destroy everything they owned. They came home to find everything destroyed. I'm not sure what happened, but that was the last time she showed up. It was terrifying as a kid to hear all that. I'd ask my parents, and they told me to ignore it and go to bed. Ah, the good old days. A couple moved in at the end of the block my parents lived on. We were friendly and waved and chatted whenever we passed. I worked at the grocery store, so I checked out their groceries a few times. One morning, one of my regular customers slapped down a photo from a newspaper in front of me and asked if I recognized the people in the photo. Nope. I don't know them. He told me then it was the couple from the end of the block. They were on the FBI's most wanted list. Fugitives who had killed two deputies and three other people. They had moved out in the middle of the night and were again on the run. Even after looking hard at the photo, I still wouldn't have recognized them. They must have changed hair and altered their appearance in subtle ways, hiding in plain sight. We had this really creepy neighbor down the street from us. He's an older man in his 70s, Every day at 5 p.m., he would ride his bike down the street and back with a camera attached to his helmet to film all the neighbors and what they were doing, trying to catch any illegal activity. He also had cameras installed all over his house to film the cars that drove in and out of the street. It's a dead-end street, and his house was at the entrance. We found out after moving in that he actually drove one of the other neighbors to unalive themselves. Then, 4 years later, we found out that his wife is actually his second wife. His first wife died of an asthma attack after he hid her inhaler. So yeah, we were definitely pretty careful around him. A neighbor came over and said, "I know you have a trailer hitch, and your new car doesn't have a hitch receiver. Since you can't use it, can I borrow it?" I thought it was a little weird that he was paying such close attention, but said sure. He took it, put it on his car immediately. I asked if he was going to be pulling a trailer anytime soon because I usually don't put it on until I need it. He just kind of shrugged. After about a week, and not having seen him pull any trailers, I asked if I could have it back. He denied having borrowed it. He claimed bought it. He also made sure to tell me he put a locking pin on it so nobody would steal it. At this point, I assumed I was dealing with an unstable individual and chose to just let it go. Crazy, crazy shit. Had a neighbor as a child that was a single man, mid-40s. Every day he got home, he hand-watered his entire lawn for an hour. He had the best lawn on the street. He brought different women home every once in a while, but that doesn't seem odd as a child. All the neighborhood parents told us to stay away from him. He was weird and creepy. His house was immaculately kept. He was very regimented. Would be gone from home for weeks at a time which seemed weird. That was 40 years ago. Found out about 10 years ago from my father. He worked for the CIA, retired Marine. He literally was a field agent on some level. Creepy as a child, now not so much. The answer might also be that I was the weird or creepy neighbor. 10 to 15 years ago, I used to make a living playing online poker, and I wasn't the best at handling losses, so I used to scream a lot of profanity and death threats, really loud, at all hours that I assume my upstairs neighbors heard. This went on for about 2 years before I moved, and they never complained, except this one time. It was about midnight, and I had been out running. When I got back to my apartment, I lay on the ground outside the entrance and started stretching, making some minor sounds and heavy breathing since I was tired from the run. All of a sudden, my neighbor opened their window and wondered what the heck I was doing. I said I was stretching, and they answered something along the lines of, "Stop doing that, you annoying jerk," and closed their window. So the conclusion is that heavy breathing is apparently a bigger problem for them than my almost daily loud shouting of terrible things at random hours. I thought this was very strange and pretty funny. And yes, I was a terrible neighbor. I have since stopped screaming and playing poker for a living. Nothing really creepy, just odd. I moved into the city, an area with houses and with a lot of small apartment buildings. There was an older guy I would see a lot. He had a very strange vibe. He was typically holding onto somebody's cast iron fence and doing weird leg exercises. He was about 6'3", had gray hair up in some odd pompadour style, and when I walked past him, he would stare at me very intently and say, "Hello, young man." I was about 40 at the time. One day, a building near mine was holding an estate sale. The guy had passed away. It turned out that he actually owned that apartment building, which had about 12 units. Who knows when he bought the place? Apparently, didn't like having tenants. He figured that out at some point, so he didn't have any. He lived alone for many years in one or two of the apartments, in a building with 12 units. It's a tie between three different ones who rented out the house next to mine growing up. I had a neighbor who was in her early 20s and lived with her boyfriend or husband, not sure. We rarely talked, but we were friendly. Nothing seemed strange until one night she came banging on our front door begging to be let in. She was hysterical, but we didn't know her well and didn't know if it could be a setup. We told her we would call 911, and she hid by our bushes for a few minutes. She took off running to another house, and that's when we saw her boyfriend coming around the corner of our property with a huge knife. I heard him shout out, but then he stopped as he looked from side to side. He silently and calmly paced in the middle of the street, swinging the knife by his side as he walked. He continued pacing in front of our house and our neighbor's house for a few minutes, and then disappeared down the street. By this time, the cops showed up and helped the woman. I don't know if they ever found the guy, but she moved out immediately after. I'll never forget the silhouette of the guy walking back and forth, knife in hand. A couple years later, a woman and her teenage son moved in. I got to know them fairly well as I would pet sit for them when they traveled. One day, I looked outside to my front yard and saw a guy lying in the grass. He was dressed in baggy clothes, a huge black coat, and a beanie that covered his face. He was slightly curled up, and his hands were awkwardly tucked under his body. It looked like he might have been holding something, so again, not knowing if it was a setup. We didn't want to get too close. He didn't respond, but we could see that his coat was moving as he breathed. We called 911. The paramedics checked him out, and while watching from my window, I saw him suddenly sit up. As a kid, I didn't know why that happened, but I'm pretty sure they gave him Narcan or something like that. He eventually tried to stumble away, but I think they took him to the hospital. This would not be the only time he overdosed. And eventually him and his mom moved away. When I was older, a group of people moved into the house. I'm not exactly sure who all was in a relationship with who, or if they were all in a relationship together, but their activities were very loud and very frequent. They rarely had their windows closed, and sometimes they could be heard or seen in their backyard. Some of them dramatically fought a lot. The guys would also sometimes sit on top of their cars like on the roof, not the hood, and drink. There was eventually a drug bust, and a few got arrested. They were evicted after that. Bonus, not my direct neighbor, but someone down the street raised wallabies and kangaroos. I live in the U.S. My neighbor growing up would come into our backyard and borrow tools from our shed without asking. We didn't have any kind of agreement or anything that would indicate to a normal person that this was okay. My family had no idea he was doing this or for how long, which baffles me because we had yappy little dogs for most of the time, and somehow they never heard him either. We only found out because he admitted to it in casual conversation like, "Oh yeah, I was in your backyard to get some tools." As if it was no big deal. My mom installed locks on the gates immediately. Current neighbors are pretty creepy. We saw a kid once or twice, but never again. Prior to the pandemic, they never went to work or seemed to keep any regular schedule. Since the pandemic began, they rarely seem to leave, but whenever they do, it's in a weird army surplus truck. Although they do have multiple cars parked across and blocking their driveway. Every single light in their house will be on all night for days, then it goes dark for a day or two. They seem to enjoy midnight target practice, though what the target is, we are not sure. The outside of the house is a slowly growing pile of shit. There are a few instant tarp type garages which seem to be empty, although there is stuff piled all around them. So, yeah, classic meth heads or cooks, right? R is a loose-knit rural neighborhood, but everybody else is very suspicious of them. Some have made local law enforcement aware of their concerns. I'm sure one day they will blow their lab up, and that will be that.